Last week, we heard the story of Jesus' visit to Jericho and his transformational interactions with a beggar who was blind and a tax collector who was despised. And we were reminded that Jesus came to seek and save all the lost. After all, two men from seemingly opposite ends of the social spectrum were noticed and welcomed and healed by Jesus. And now, Palm Sunday is here, the start of Holy Week. Despite knowing what is to come when he enters the holy city, Jesus sets his face toward the cross. It feels appropriate to me that we read Luke's gospel this year. In Luke's telling of the story of Jesus' entry to Jerusalem, there are no palms, no hosannas, and not even the huge, overly raucous crowd described in other gospels, just his disciples, a large group of them to be sure, and the Pharisees, some of whom may actually have been disciples by this point. In the last year, we have learned a lot about the things described by Luke in this passage, praise mixed with pain, singing followed by sighing, rejoicing, turning to weeping, triumph hand in hand with humility. And despite all this, or maybe because of all this, we can be encouraged because we worship Jesus, the royal one who comes in the name of the Lord. Our hearts beat faster, our lungs fill with air in anticipation of the noise we will make when Jesus comes. But for now, we are frightened by circumstances. Not forever, though. The time will come when we will celebrate again, and it will be loud and joyous. Today, we promised to join Ashley and Michael as they raise Easton and Kaysen to love and follow Jesus. And the reason that we as their church family make that commitment is because we know that parenting is hard and sometimes sorrowful. When the burden becomes heavy, it's our duty to come alongside parents, to support them, to remind them of the joy of this day. Joy doesn't mean that something is easy or light. Joy comes in the struggle of realizing what is possible. It comes with a little bit of an edge and always with a sense that it might disappear just as quickly as it appeared. And it's that kind of deep joy that we must remember as we walk through Holy Week together this week. We don't move directly from Palm Sunday to Easter, from celebration to celebration, because there is no Easter without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion and the hard time of waiting. Joy comes with mourning. It comes with possibility and tears. And we see this in the story of Jesus, who moves from a parade in which he knew that even creation, the very stones, would cry out and recognize him if his followers didn't, to crying over the city that he loved because they just couldn't understand the true source of peace, not military might or even a stealthily rebellious Messiah, but faith in the God who created them and even now walks among them. This parade for Jesus is an indication that Jesus isn't who they understood the Messiah to be. It was a parody, really, of the Roman triumphus. That was a parade. When conquering Roman generals would enter the city, they would have a huge parade. They'd be crowned with laurels, riding in a chariot pulled by white horses, and they would go directly to the Roman temple to offer sacrifices. Jesus, on the other hand, comes in on a colt that had never even been ridden, just as the prophet Zechariah prophesied. Such an animal would have been untrained, and riding an unbroken colt would be a dangerous task. The exact opposite of what a conqueror would ride, right? A trained and seasoned war horse. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem in a new way, with a new ride. He's bringing in an untamed, unknown way of doing things. He's a strange king, one who will wear a crown of thorns rather than of laurels, a king who conquers by suffering and apparent defeat. But Jesus' ride into Jerusalem was more than a show, and it was more than the simple provocation of the Romans that the Pharisees feared. That's why they wanted his followers to be quiet. They were afraid the Roman soldiers would hear and notice and think there was going to be an insurrection, and that was not going to be good for anybody. Jesus' ride in Jerusalem was a signal that things were changing. It was an unmistakably potent message that the world as we know it is becoming the world as it should be. It was a radical act of defiance, directed against those in his day who wielded power through violence and oppression and tyranny. And that included some of what his followers wished for him to do. And it is no less radical and no more tame for us today. This simple Palm Sunday ride tells us, the whole world, that Jesus came to make things new, to turn weapons of war into instruments of peace, to release those who find themselves in all manner of bondage, chains of injustice, chains of addiction, chains of conformity and apathy. Jesus came to provide for the poor, to bring food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless, to assure the dignity and equality of all who are marginalized or oppressed. Jesus came to end violence and divisions, to offer healing and wholeness, comfort, consolation, and hope. Jesus came to transform all that we know. Jesus came to save us. And even now, Jesus is still doing all those things. And if we're not careful, we, like those waiting in Jerusalem that day, will miss them because we're expecting something different. Jesus is still doing miracles in our world right now. And he's doing them through the mystery of love incarnate, through the church empowered by the Holy Spirit, through lives transformed and inspired, through ordinary people like us who are blessed by God to do extraordinary things. The Pharisees wanted to quiet Jesus because they feared the Romans would understand this to be a rebellion against them. But Jesus knew that his followers needed to cry out their praises and their prayers, their hosannas, God save us. He knew that all of creation was groaning for salvation, so much so that even the rocks would cry out if the people were quiet. We have an advantage over those disciples and the people of the first Palm Sunday because we know the rest of the story. So the question becomes for us, will we be quiet? Or will we shout out to the world around us through our words and our deeds that the Savior Jesus has made all things new? Palm Sunday is a vision of the way it can be, the way it should be. Shouts of welcome, a joyful procession, a community celebrating together. And that same vision is offered to us. Today, we can welcome Christ into our lives. We can celebrate his transforming power. How swiftly things changed back then. From praise to crucify him in just a few days. And how swiftly we too can sometimes be distracted from the responsibility that God has given us and the privilege God has given us to shout God's praises. May we hold fast to Jesus' vision of goodness. As this week unfolds before us, this week of passion, may we be overtaken by God's love. And may we, in turn, pour it out into the world. May we say with those disciples, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord."